tonight. Familiar text, 1 Kings chapter number 18. Verse number 41. When you find it, say amen. The Bible says, "And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of an abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, put his face between his knees. He said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up. And he looked and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, Go up and say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. Let us pray. Father, we love you. We thank you tonight for Jesus. God, we thank you for allowing us to come into this place to worship you. And Father, we pray now for the next little while that you'd help us to not say anything that we don't need to, but all things that you'd have us to. God, we just want to thank you for living in this country that we live in, that we can come in a place and worship you freely and truly here tonight. Father, we love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. As I've already stated, we come to this passage of Scripture, and it's a very familiar passage of Scripture in that we've heard that cloud that's likened unto a man's hand, and we've heard this passage of Scripture preached on quite a bit. And as we start to examine these verses, we notice a few things here. That first, we see that there was no rain. Then we see that there was a sound of rain. Then we see that there was an anticipation that rain was on the way. And then at the end, we see that there was an abundance of rain. This man, Elijah, here is a great man of faith. And he's also a great man that fears God. Elijah was a great man to watch and to see what Elijah done and how Elijah's life was. But we see here that when we look at what's taking place here with Elijah, that we can see that geographically, it doesn't matter where we're at, God can still come to where we're at. Doesn't matter if we're on top of the mountain or we're down in the valley, God can still get there. It doesn't matter geographically if we're down by the brook where there's a flowing stream of water, or we're in the middle of a desert. We can see that God can come to where we are, and God can do things that we can't even fathom. God is the same. This is the same God that created everything, and He can come everywhere. There's no boundaries, there's no borders, there's no limits to the places or the things that God can come to or that God can do. And as we begin to look at this, I want to draw your attention to verse number 43. And there's one little phrase there that I want us to hang up on for a little while tonight. And if you'll bear with me, I'll do my best to give you what the Lord's laid on my heart. But it says, there is nothing. And as we come and we begin to look at Elijah and we begin to see what Elijah is trying to say here, I want us to think about this, that there's a lot of times in our life that there's just nothing. Anybody ever been in a place to where you may have prayed and there just wasn't nothing? You've tried and you've tried and you've tried and it's just nothing. Well, when there's nothing there, it's not time for you and I to give up. It's not time for you and I to turn and to run in the opposite direction. When there's nothing there and it seems like we're there all alone, it's not time for us to pack up and move on. Because this God that we serve, He's the God that stepped out into nothing and created everything. He took a whole lot of nothing and created everything. Why? Because He's God. You say, this God that created everything can step into your nothing and He can do a whole lot. This God can step into our situation and He can do something incredible. He can do something supernatural. He can do something amazing with nothing. Looks like nothing to me and you. And this guy, this servant of Elijah, he goes and he goes seven times. And there was nothing for the first six times. Do you believe that God can take nothing and do something with it? Absolutely. I believe that. And here, I believe in every Christian's life, there is a season that will come when it feels like there's nothing there. You say, how you know? Well, I've prayed and it felt like it never got off the floor. You say, you didn't feel like it was hitting the roof? No, it never got off the floor. I mean, it didn't get that high. I've preached and it felt like it never left the pulpit. I've had hope and there was nothing there. I've trusted God and it that felt like nothing was there. I've tithed and it felt like it was doing nothing. It felt like I was moving backwards. I've served and it felt like there was nothing there. There's times in the Christian life to where it's nothing. I know that there's church folk and there's preachers and there's singers and every time that they pray, they want you to believe that heaven just comes down. There's preachers that preach and Brother James, Brother Mike, y'all can identify with this, that they preach and they want you to believe that they hit a home run every time they preach. I don't know about y'all, but I've flopped a whole lot more than I've got one out of the infield. There's people, there's singers, they sing and they think that angels just, they'll have you to believe, angels just flutter around every time they sing. There's a lot of them singers, they don't, never mind, I ain't going to get into all that. But there's a lot of them singers that have you to believe these things. But the truth is, in the reality in the world that we live in, there's a lot more failures, there's a lot more flops, and there's a lot of times that it had done the singers good not to even get off the bus. Amen. Singers get up and sing, and you can tell whether they got God on them and with them or if they left Him on the bus. There's a lot of times preachers, they get up and they want to put on a show. That ain't what it's about. We'll all go through these times in our life where it feels like there's nothing. But just know that we serve a God that took nothing and made everything. There's four words I want us to focus on tonight that I believe can help us when we're dealing with our nothing. Now I want you to understand this. Your nothing may not seem like a lot to me, and my nothing may not seem like a lot to you, but when I'm in my nothing, it's bad over here. And when you're at your nothing down at your house, when the lights is turned out and it's just you and the Lord, it's bad down there in your nothing. And the servant come back and he said, there is nothing. He didn't come one time. He didn't come twice. He didn't even come three times. But he come back six times and said, there is nothing. Most of us would have quit on number two. I'm one of them that I'll pray for it about 3 days, and if the Lord ain't done something, I'm going to go fix it. Amen. Anybody like that? It's all right. Hey, it's okay. But there's times we won't keep going. Four words tonight that I believe will help us. Number one, I want you to notice this. There's a command here that I believe will help us. He said, go. We ask, why did he go again? Why did he go the second time? Why did he go the third? Because he was commanded to go. Because the authority in his life commanded him to go. So many times, this is the statement that's made in our day and hour, is that it's my life, I'll live it how I want to, I'll do what I want to, when I want to. Well, newsflash, child of God, if you're born again, if you're saved, you're not the final authority in your life, and we have a command to go. And those that are, this servant that was commanded that he would go. Why do we preach? Because he said so. How many of y'all parents have ever said when your kids ask you, because I said so? Anybody ever said that? And then when you're like me, you're dumb enough to say, well, why? And he showed me why, but it was a piece of leather, amen? But why do we preach? Because he said to. Even when we don't feel like it, preachers, we still got to preach. Singers, why do we sing? Because he said so. He said we're to lift our voice in praise to him. And even when we don't feel like it, we got to do it because he said so. Why do we worship? It's hard sometimes when there's nothing there, when it feels like nothing. And I'm sure I'm probably the only one that's ever come to church and felt like I didn't really want to be here. Anybody can identify right there. And it's hard sometimes to lift your hands. It's hard sometimes to say amen when you feel like there's nothing there. I'm glad that I can feel what I got, but I'm glad it ain't all about feeling. Because I don't feel saved about half the time. When you got employees like I got you, they'll make you, anyway, we ain't going to get into all that. But anyway, there's times you just don't feel saved. Why do we do what we do? It's because he said so. Why do we witness? Because he said so. I believe this. I believe that there's a joy and there's a thrill in serving Jesus. I believe there's a joy and a thrill in coming to the house of God. But if that's the only reason we do it, it ain't going to last very long. It's going to feather out. It's going to dwindle down. It's got to be more than that, because there's going to be times that the zeal's not there. There's going to be times that the fire's not there. There's going to be times that the want to's not there. It's going to be low, but we still got to because he said so. It amazes me that the people use the, and I'm all for it. If you're watching from home, I'm glad you're watching. But it's amazing to me how many people have took the road of just being able to watch online instead of coming to the house of God. And I'm glad they are. I'm glad that avenue's there. But there's something about being here. I've watched services online, and man, I get fed off of it. But there's something about being here with God's people. Why do we do that? Because he said so. He said so. It don't make me no more a Christian, but he said so. Let me say this, that the command is still there to go. We're to go. We're not to sit here and do nothing. We're to go. If the sun comes up in the morning, Brother Mike, it'll be because he said so. If the moon shines tonight, it'll be because he said so. If I lose everything I got tomorrow, it'll be because he said so. It won't be because I like it and ain't fighting for it. It'll be because he said so. If things go south, because he said so. He said go. There's a command. Number two, notice this. There's a compliance. There's a compliance. He said, go up now. Look forward to see. Notice what it says. And he went up. There's a compliance, an obedience. That word obedience is that he went. And guess what? He went again, even when he didn't want to. He went. There's times that we just got to go. We live in a day and an hour when everybody's looking for the next best thing. They're looking for the secret formula. They're looking for something to outdo somebody else. They're looking for a step-by-step program to help them through life. I hadn't arrived and I ain't got things figured out yet. I'm trying to get there. But here's what I do know, that they're looking in all the wrong places. The secret formula for the child of God is simply obedience. And I struggle with that. My wife struggles with that. She don't obey me, Brother Mike. That's a joke, I promise. Obedience. We all struggle with it. I tell my kids, I got a bird dog. And me and my bird dog, we're tight. I mean, I'd probably let you have one of my youngins before I let you have my bird dog. Me and him's boys, I'm talking about. I can pull up in the yard and he'll be laying out there. All them pull up, he won't get up. I can pull up and here he comes. Me and him's tight. That dog is trained better than my kids. I can tell him, whoa. And he knows that if he moves, it's going to be bad. I tell my kids no, and it's a 50-50 shot. That's all I can tell you. I can tell him here, and he's at my side. I can blow my whistle, and you better get out of the way because he's gone. I tell my kids, come here. It's a 50-50 shot. And most folks would consider the discipline that my kids get child abuse. You say, are you proud of it? No. But I ain't going to let them grow up to be heathens without me disciplining them. Obedience. My bird dog, he obeys me. He knows that if he don't, there'll be consequences. There'll be fire come out his tail in the form of electricity. From here or way over there. He knows when I speak, he better listen. Obedience is simply listening to God. Obedience is simply following him. When Elijah said, go, he didn't say why. He didn't say, well, give me some more details. He didn't say, well, how long is it going to take me to get there? He just went. And it wasn't his responsibility to go make it rain. It wasn't his responsibility to go make it rain because he didn't have the ability to make it rain. It was just simply his responsibility to go. And God may be telling us something tonight, this is just one message, but the Holy Ghost has got to preach several different ones. He may be telling you something to go tonight, and you better go. Obedience is a big thing. Obedience is big. He didn't ask because it was not his responsibility and beyond his ability. And it's beyond our ability to bring revival. It's beyond our ability to fix problems. It's beyond our ability to mend hearts. It's beyond our ability to change lives. And it's beyond our ability to save lost people. But it is within our ability to go. It is within our ability to pray. It is within our ability to seek his face. It is within our ability to do these things. I believe in the sovereignty of God. Am I okay here? Everybody believe in the sovereignty of God. I believe he is the supreme being. I believe he is the supreme power. I believe in the sovereignty of God. God is so comfortable in his sovereignty that he created man knowing that man would fail him. Knowing that it would, backfire in his direction, that man would go against him. He's so comfortable in his sovereignty. God is so sovereign that he knew this and he still created man, Brother Lee, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. God's comfortable and confident in his sovereignty. God is so sovereign that he can do what he wants. He can do it when he wants. He can do it where he wants. And he can help who he wants. And there ain't nothing you and I can do about it. And that's beyond our ability in those things. But it is our responsibility to respond to the sovereign acts of God. Jesus tasted death for me and you. He paid the debt for me and you. And he died for me, for every man. And the invitation is still there that whosoever will can come. I'm glad I'm a whosoever tonight. Amen. The invitation's there. And until a man, woman, boy, or girl puts his faith and trust into the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll die and go to hell. They die before then. Man is responsible to respond to the sovereignty of God. Let me give you these examples. God is sovereign enough to part the Red Sea. But Moses gets to lift the rod. See where I'm at? God can part it. Moses was able to hold the rod. David, God's sovereign enough that he can kill giants. David just got to swing the sling. God's sovereign enough to kill the Philistines, but he let Samson swing the jawbone. And here, God's sovereign enough to defeat the enemy. But Gideon got to wield the sword. Then we see that God's sovereign enough to turn the water into wine, but he let some boys fill the pots. God's sovereign enough to feed the 5,000, but he let a little boy tote the lunch. I don't know about you. I can't part the Red Sea. I can't kill the giant. I can't kill the Philistine. I can't hold off the enemy. I can't defeat them. I can't turn the water into wine. And I definitely can't feed the 5,000 because I'm going to eat my lunch before I get there. Amen. But I sure enough can be a rod holder. I sure enough can be a sling swinger. I can be a jawbone swinger. I can even swing a sword if I have to. I ain't never toted no water to a wine bucket, but if that's what I got to do, that's what I got to do. And if the Lord lets me leave my lunch alone, I'll bring it and let him feed the 5,000. That's the sovereign God that we serve. We just got to be in compliance with him. I'm glad he lets us in on some things. Can I say right here, over the past few weeks, we've been able to sit in on some. We've been on the edge of glory. I mean, some of the things we've experienced here the last few weeks. But with that comes defeat. With that comes burdens. With that comes battles. And a few months ago, I preached to the church and how we got to hold on to each other. Well, we need somebody to hold the rod right now. Our pastor's family's under attack. Tell you how you want to. I ain't trying to put them up or anything. Our pastor's family's under attack. We need some rod holders. We need some sling swingers. We need some jawbone swingers. We need some sword swingers. We need some pot fillers. Not pot stirrers, amen, but some pot fillers. We need somebody to bring a lunch because we're going to be here a while, amen. We got to hold together. Sometimes it feels like there's nothing. But we serve a sovereign God. When it sounds like nothing, and it looks like nothing, and it feels like nothing, just keep obeying God, because He'll take that nothing and make something out of it. Number three, this one right here, it got a hold of me. I mean, this one right here bothered me bad, Brother Jamie. You know, sometimes we got to deal with some things before we can preach it. This one right here got over here where I'm at. Consistency. Some consistency. He said, go again. He said, now wait a minute. You said go, I went. Now you telling me there wasn't nothing there. Now you telling me to go again. He said, yep. And not only one time, but I want you to go seven. Go seven. Seven times. He followed His command. He did comply. And He went again. But the consistency. If all He done was just went the one time, it wouldn't have been nothing there to talk about. If He had just went one time, there would have been a lot that we wouldn't have got to know about. If He'd have just went the one time, there would have been things that He could have only dreamed about. I like Brother Michael's testimony the other night when testimony meeting broke out on Wednesday night. He said, I almost stayed home and I'd have missed it. If the consistency was not there with this servant, he would have missed it. There's got to be consistency. What could God have really done? What is God really wanting to do? But we got to be consistent. He kept going. He kept going and there was nothing. He kept going and there was nothing. And He went again and there was nothing. And He went another time and there was nothing. Talking about there ain't nothing there. And He went the seventh time. And He said, there ariseth a little cloud likened to a man's hand. What if He had stopped at number six? Story's over. We don't get to see what's going to take place. We don't get to see the abundance of rain. We don't get to see the abundance of the moving of God if we stop now and don't move forward. Sometimes it's going to feel like there ain't nothing there. Has anybody, and it may just be me, has anybody ever got up on a Sunday morning and had four little darling babies to get ready, and by the time you got them out the door, you and mama was ready to shoot each other? Anybody? You get in the car, and they fussing and they fighting and they ready to kill each other. And you walk through the doors and it's, how y'all doing this morning? It's all right. And when by the time you sit down, your thought is, there ain't nothing here for me. I mean, you done got so far in the flesh that you ain't even thinking about God. You ain't thinking about Jesus. You ain't thinking about the Holy Ghost. You ain't wanting to sing Amazing Grace or nothing. He said there was nothing. And we come in and we sit down. And all of a sudden, choir starts singing. And something gets to moving. And I'll go a step further. I've been in some places in my life when I've come in and I didn't want to be here. I didn't want to come. But my wife, being spiritual, said, well, you're the leader of the house. You need to go. Because I didn't want to be here. I was in a dark place. And I come in, walk right around there and sit down right back there on the back pew. And the choir got up here and started singing. And there was somebody followed me in that we didn't see. And he sat down right beside me. And when the choir started singing, he got bumping me. It wasn't my wife and it wasn't my kids. There wasn't nothing there when I got here. I couldn't reach over there and touch him when I got here. But he scooched up next to me. And there was something there. He took nothing. And before it was over with, them little babies looked up at me. They said, "Why are you crying, Daddy?" I'll explain it to you later. I can't talk right now. What's going on? And this is one I get. Why'd you go to the altar? I like explaining that kind of stuff. But there was nothing. There's got to be some consistency. We got to just go when we don't feel like going. It don't matter how many times we've been there, just keep going. The consistency. We're living in a time when stability and consistency and faithfulness and commitment is not in the vocabulary around us. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 58 says, "Be steadfast." We are living in a day and an hour where we need some steadfast Christians. We need somebody to drive a stake in the ground and say, "I ain't moving. And if I move, I'm going forward. If I move, it's going to be because He said so. But I'm going to have a firm foundation and I'm going to be steady. I'm going to be on a level. It's going to be level. We're going to move forward when we got to. And then we're going to be steadfast." There's going to be some consistency. If we ever, ever intend to see the results, if we intend to feel the touch of God, if we intend to sit in the presence of God, and if we ever intend to know the will of God for our life, we'll be consistent about some things in our life, even when there's nothing there and it feels like we're all alone. I went through a season similar to this, and Casey would say, "Well, just pray about it." I said, I don't know how to pray. You say, "You're a preacher, you don't know how to pray." I didn't know how to pray then. I've read books on prayer. I didn't know how to pray then. There's a verse over in Romans that says, those groanings that cannot be uttered. There's times I'd just get down and pray and I wouldn't know what to say. I'd just sit there and squall. You say, "You really think it got through?" Them got through more than them that I've said words. If we intend, we got intend on these results, we got to be steadfast. We got to be consistent. We got to keep it going. He went seven times. Because at the end, God will take your nothing and do something with it. Lastly, I want you to notice this. There was confidence. There was confidence. And he said, "Go again seven times." Then I want you to go down at the end of verse number 44. He sent for Ahab and he said, "That the rain stop thee not." And at the end of verse number 45, there was a great rain. It's confidence. After going six times, I can only imagine where I would have been if somebody sent me after something six times and wanted me to go back the seventh, and I ain't found it yet. Those of you men that have little boys, y'all can identify right here. I tell Carson, "Son, go to this certain place, look in this certain place, and get me a screwdriver." He comes back, ain't no screwdriver there. "I know it's there. I just put it there. It ain't there." Go back and look again. And I've come to find out this is how Carson looks for things. "Daddy, I can't find that thing that's right there." And he's looking around up here. But if I send him back seven times, he probably ain't going back over there the seventh time. He's going to go in his room or do something else and act like he went in there, and he's really not going to be able to find it. But this servant went the seventh time. And after going this seventh time, let's use our imagination a minute, and let's put ourselves in his place. You think he might have said, Elijah, you've sure got a lot of confidence here. I've been six times and there hadn't been nothing. Do you know something I don't know? And I can see Elijah, and this may be the conversation. He may say, well, not necessarily, Brother Lee, not necessarily. I don't necessarily know something you don't know. But I've got a nothing story. And I believe every Christian tonight can identify that you've had a nothing story in your life. He said, I've got a nothing story because when God found me, I didn't have nothing, and I wasn't nothing, and my mom and daddy didn't have nothing, and he took nothing and he made something out of nothing. He said, he sent me over to a widow's house, said she didn't have nothing at all. Just that little bit of meal, a little bit of oil. Said, he left me there and said he turned her nothing into a whole lot of something. He said, he carried me down to a brook when I didn't have nothing. And he made something out of me. And I stayed there at that brook until there wasn't nothing left. And he moved me on. He said, you remember back just a little few verses ago that we come down there to the enemy and we didn't have nothing and we called on God and the fire came down and God took something, nothing, we had nothing, and he made a whole lot of something out of it. They looked at us like we wasn't nothing and we didn't have nothing. But God supplied it for us. God was the one that was victorious for us. He said, I don't know something you don't, but I've been somewhere that you hadn't been. You say, why do I have to go through these trials and why do I have to go to these places where there's absolutely nothing there? It's because one day somebody else is going to be in a nothing story. And you can share your nothing story with them. And I can see that little fella. He said, well, since you told me all that, and there wasn't nothing then, I'm going to go again because there might be something this time. My mind goes back to different times in my life to where I've prayed and I've prayed and I've prayed and it felt like God wasn't going to answer it. But I was encouraged to just keep praying until God answered. And when God answered, it blew my mind. It was amazing at what God done just because I kept going. When there's nothing, just keep going. He said, I believe he can make it rain when there's nothing. And he went again. Just go one more time. Just preach one more time, preacher. Maybe our last one. Just preach again. Saint, just pray again. Just pray one more time. Just witness one more time. Just sing one more time, singer. Just go one more time. Because this could be the one that counts. Just go one more time. Because that may be the time that he takes your nothing and makes a whole lot of something out of it. We started out with nothing. We're going to leave with nothing. But it'll all be because he's something in our life. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. And God, we pray you'd bless our feeble efforts. Lord, I pray that we've encouraged a heart tonight. God, that there's a lot of times that we ain't got nothing to offer you. But Lord, you got everything to give us. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name.